Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of our critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture. And this morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting topic. At least I think it's a fun and interesting topic, and I hope you do too. Hello at raisingconnections.com is where we can have a conversation, as well as Facebook on Raising Connections. Good morning and welcome to Raising Connections.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It's spring. Things are blooming. The pollen is in my eyes and nose and all of that's going on. Pollen gives us the flowers and the fruits, so I have to deal with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are my daughter, and you have grown up here in Carroll County, and you're in between right now. Introduce yourself in your voice and tell us what you're doing.
Hi, my name is Ryan Mayer. I am from Carroll County. I am a junior at Teal College, which is located in Greenville, Pennsylvania. My major is in biology with an equine science minor. I am doing an internship this summer with Dr. Lisa Wagner, who is an equine vet.
So you've gone from Carroll County to northern Pennsylvania, but you also have roots in Indiana, California, and other places. When you're in these different areas, what are the special things that you find that you always bring back or hold special? They all look different. So if you're in Greenville, Pennsylvania, Teal College, and why and how that was special for you, what is it that you're taking from that place that makes it special?
Greenville, Pennsylvania kind of reminds me a little bit of Mount Airy, Maryland, where kind of everyone knows everyone, and a little bit of where my grandparents live, which is Marion, Indiana. It's the farmland, it's the farmers, it's the cow farms, kind of all of that combined into one.
Why cow farms?
Maybe it's because you were raised on a cow farm?
Angus. So it's something that holds special. When you go to California, what do you bring back? What is it that you enjoy about seeing your grandparents in California? What's special about that place for you?
Oh, it's the sun and heat. I get a nice tan. Sometimes I get sunburnt, but for that, it's just the city. I like seeing the city at night. Now, Las Vegas in California is different than here in Baltimore or in Maryland. It's more or less of the city I like seeing at night. California and Nevada, it's seeing the palm trees. Everyone loves to see palm trees because they're not here in Maryland.
So it's something different. When you go there, you've also been spent time in other cities. When you think of East Coast cities, what do you think of with those?
Again, I like seeing the city at night. It's different. The lights are all up in the city. Here on the East Coast, they're down by the water. So you can see all the different boats. For me, I like watching the different boats on the water floating around, and you can actually see what's going on in them.
So when you visit and come back, when you bring pieces back, is it the lights and the cities and the farms that make a memory for you? That when you're stopping, I went there because, and you're talking about it, I like this and that. It's not that those cities are special for you or those places are special for you, but those are the memorable pieces.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
When you think cow farms, in your words, cow farms, when you think of those things, is it the people, the animals, or the place that makes it for you?
All three.
You've had some really interesting experiences visiting farms in different places. Mm-hmm. And you've had a lot of opportunity to visit farms in different places. What are the things that are most memorable about the farms for you?
I like seeing all the different types of farms, meeting the different horses, meeting the different people.
Do all farms have the same meaning? So when you go, oh, I'm going to a farm, it's what you expect. It's horses, animals, fences, feed, houses, grounds, or is it the types of farms? Because you've been on several different farms. You've been in Amish farms. You've been in professional farms. You've been in very different kinds of barns, professional barns, hobby barns, pet barns. What makes the difference? What do you take away as your special memory?
How people treat the animals. Some people that have no idea what they like about a horse, they have no idea how to treat a horse. So the vet and I are having to not deal with the horse, but we're having to treat the horse and pretty much take a hold of the horse or the animal because the person doesn't know how to take care of them.
Maybe the farms are more the people and the animals on those, and the cities represent more lights and more busyness. Do the lights represent people for you?
No.
No. I understand a lot of people, when they see the lights go on and off, they feel like there's people living in a, so they're surrounded by people in context. And the lights for them mean that people are coming in and out. If you had to pick where you live, so you've been to Carroll County, you've been to California, you've been lots of places and spent time in lots of different environments. You've been through New York and Norfolk, you've been northern Pennsylvania, you've been South Carolina. Where would you pick to live and what makes that place special for you?
I'm kind of an oddball, but I would have to say Carroll County.
Why?
Because you get the quote-unquote city life as it's becoming a city, a town. Carroll County is 40 miles from Baltimore, 40 miles from D.C., 40 miles from Frederick.
Well, not quite 40 miles from Frederick, and depends on where you're at, but you're close. So we're close to these major cities.
Carroll County is, it's a mixture of all three. It's a mixture of the city. It's the mixture of sometimes in the heat, you still have rural area. I mean, Maryland is the number two equine state because of the racetrack.
So for you, you like the mix of everything.
Yes.
So a mix of the urban, a mix of the suburban, a mix of the rural, and how it all comes together. Interesting. One of the things I found very interesting for myself, the first time I went to California, I was a young adult, and I went to California, probably 1920. I take that back. I was probably 24. The first time I went to Southern California, and I saw the Nevada skyline, and I saw the California skyline that you're talking about, I was so surprised that they were flat. For me, cities were tall, and they were big, and they were skyscrapers. And I remember the first time I went to New York, and I walked in between the buildings, and I didn't have to wear a coat because there was no wind. And then when you got in between the buildings, you got blown away as if it were the flats of Indiana again in the Midwest. And then you walk between the towers again and the wind was gone. It surprised me that the cities out west were flat and the cities on the East Coast had grown tall. And now hearing things about building heights and such, always that piece always amazed me. The other thing that got me, when you talk about moving out and coming back, in the Midwest, it's very flat. And for miles away, you can see water towers and you can see the lights that you talked about on the horizon of the city that's nearby. You know you're approaching a city when you can see the glow of the city and the water tower. Thank you for sharing your views. Good luck. My father and I had this conversation, and he declined to come on the radio, so I thought I would share his story with you. My father used to sing on the radio. He has a bass that would rattle the windows, and as he's aged, he's now in his 80s, his voice is failing, his body is failing, and it's just heartbreaking. He says, "I don't know when I don't know, but I do know that I don't know," which is kind of sad. He's still giving us wonderful fodder for stories, so I thought this was a share, and I thought it was a reason to have this conversation. He's recently moved into a care facility because mom's at the age she really can't take care of dad without hurting herself. And in trying to take care of dad, she broke her nose and two rotator cuffs, and just the blessing and the curse, they say, of aging together in marriage. But the thing that really came out to my mind was he is missing sitting in the living room of his own home and seeing the fields. And that got me thinking, what is it that makes a place special to you? Now, Dad's lived in many places. He's been in Vietnam. He's been in the South. He's been in Indiana, but mostly in Indiana for his life. And if you know Indiana, the southern part of the state looks a lot like it does here in Maryland. The northern part of the state is very flat and very Midwest-like in that you can see for miles. Dad's thought on this was he missed the fields. However, when he was working for General Motors, a machine repair as a machinist, one of the things that he realized when he got home from work, he had been working down underneath the presses and it was hot and dark and all the cutting oil and the smells and the whole bit. And he wanted to go home and open up the curtains so he could see the area around him. Even though he was in the house, it was very important to see the area around him. And what he really wanted to see was the light and the life outside. One of the things that we've done to help with things in his world is put bird feeders out. And my mother would always put bird feeders out. And she said, "I quit putting them out because I started watching the cycle of life. And it wasn't so good when my favorite birds became part of the cycle of life. I resented some of the other birds." But what we've ended up doing is putting the bird feeders out so he can watch and see something. What is it that you miss? One of the things when he moved from the South to the North, he said he missed was the trees. Down southern Indiana, there's a lot of trees. They call it back in the forestry. You don't call it the woods down there. You call it the forestry. They're back in the forestry. And one of the things he missed was seeing the critters go from tree to tree and back and forth. But what is it that you find in an area that makes it special that if you left, you would look for? One of the things that he needs to have to make him feel okay, I found myself. One of the things he likes is space. Being around too many people and too many times feels like he can't breathe. So one of the things he needs is space. Being enclosed by the trees or in the open area doesn't make a difference to him, but it is space. He feels like he can breathe. And I find the same thing. My grandmother compared living in a assisted facility very similar to when she visited me in college and said, oh, I just have a dorm room. My dorm room's full of older people. Your dorm room's full of younger people, but it's all the same thing. And again, I needed the space. It felt like I could study outside better than I could study in the house. And it didn't matter if it was trees, water, or what have you. I just needed to be outside. When I find myself in a city environment, I think it's wonderful, but I sure like a balcony. I need to be outside. I need to be able to feel that so I can think. It's strange how those work for me. How does it work for you? Hello@raisingconnections.com. Where is it that you look for? Is it the water? Is it the trees? Is it the growing things? Is it the cycle of life and the birds? Let's talk about that with our next guest. Welcome back to Raising Connections. Today we've been talking about those special places, the places that you go and you bring something back, or how you choose where you go. And when you come back, do you look at things differently? And how do you choose where you really want to live or be? Or do you retire to someplace that's a vacation? Robin, you've been all over the place and you choose to go where for your vacations?
The last couple of vacations I've had, my sister and I have gone to Cancun. We fly into Cancun Airport, but then we get a shuttle and drive 20 minutes or so south to a resort, the Vivante Resort called the Grand Mayan. It's on the eastern coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. That whole area is called the Riviera Maya. Doesn't that sound luxurious?
That sounds fancy. Yes.
And the resort we stay at, it's absolutely beautiful. And there's a lot of other resorts along that stretch, which I haven't been in, but they're all gated. You can't really see into them until you get in there. But beautiful pools and a beautiful beach and just a lot of people. But it's just really nice. My sister has a timeshare down there. So we went this past March, but I hadn't been in several years.
Okay.
So, and then one time my sister and I actually went to Punta Cana, which is in the Dominican Republic, which was a lot of fun too. Nice resort.
So I have to ask this. Is it the water? Ryan and the people and the animals made a difference for her. My dad could go anywhere, but he needs to be outside.
Yes.
My mother-in-law really says, someplace open.
She felt so closed in.
Yes. What is it that draws you to that area?
I'm going to be like Ryan and first say the sun and the warmth.
There you go.
Because when we go, we usually go in March to someplace tropical. I've never been like an ocean swimmer. Give me a nice beach. I'll sit and put my feet in the sand, but I like a nice swimming pool. I love to swim, but I'm not real crazy about swimming in the ocean. So give me a nice pool and I'm there. So we swim every day. And just the tropical, the foliage down there, everywhere you go, it's like you're inside a jungle.
Yeah. In some of your pictures, there were actually trees on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, big palm trees on the beach. Yeah.
I thought, now that I might get into, because I sunburn so easy.
Yeah.
I can sunburn through a white shirt.
There was some shade.
And you know, a palm tree on the beach. And it wasn't just one. There were a lot
of them. There were a lot of them.
That was wonderful. That would, now, if you get the pedicure, the beach pedicure, right, where you've been walking in the sand, that would be all right. I can do that in the shade.
Yes.
But the beach, to me, it's one of those things that it doesn't, if somebody asked me where I wanted to go, I don't enjoy the beach. And I know, I think in Maryland, especially here in Carroll County, a lot of people make homage down to Ocean City.
Sure, 4 hours away and you're in Ocean City. Yeah.
No, the beach doesn't really hold much for me. It never has. When we were kids, my parents took us to NASA because it was still, that's something you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we made the pilgrimage, if you will, down to NASA to see everything that was going on. And there was a private beach out there and it was a white beach. My father had been in Vietnam and my mother flew over to Hawaii to meet them. And that was a big deal for them. They talked about the white sand beach and the black sand beach.
In Hawaii, you're talking about, right?
Yes, Hawaii in the 60s. So they were all very excited because the beach near NASA was a white beach and it was a relatively private beach. And we had little crabs come up on the blankets.
Oh, wow.
And we could see the rockets and all the pieces.
Right.
And there were things from testing that would come up on the beach. It was just a lot of fun. But I got sunburned so badly through a white t-shirt that was long sleeved.
Wow.
That I had third degree blisters on my back and arms for the rest of the vacation.
Oh, that's miserable.
And, you know, what wasn't sandy had sand in it. it and on it and around it, and sweat was salty and gritty and sandy. Yeah. And I think people do this for fun. I do not want to do this for fun.
This is not fun.
The first time I ever enjoyed a beach was a rock beach in Maine.
In Maine.
In Maine. There were stones out on the beach, great big boulders.
Yeah.
And you could hear the water come up and you could see things, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And it was just so nice because it was the best pieces of the lake and the best pieces of the ocean. It was really different.
Yeah. Did you swim in the ocean there? I mean, is the water...
No, I'm not an ocean swimmer.
No,
because the bottom moves out from underneath me.
Yeah.
I guess I'm too much of a type A. I like control. I want the bottom to stay sound and good.
I've never been much of an ocean swimmer. Like you said, the bottom moves, you know, I don't like it knocked down by the waves and get salt water up my nose.
Yeah,
and
no.
Especially like in Ocean City on the east coast of the United States, the water, you get in there a foot, you can't see your feet. You know, you can't see it. I was always afraid I was going to step on a crab or something.
Yes.
So I've never been much of, I love the beach. Take me to a beach and let me sit. I'll sit on my chair in the surf as the water comes in. But I don't really go in much past my knees. I don't go out there and I just don't really enjoy that. But give me a nice pool. Take me to someplace with a pool and I'll be in that water all day.
There you go.
I love a pool.
There you go. Yeah, that's Rihanna, and she really enjoys that. No, I'm not so much for it because the water amplifies the sun and it just burns faster.
True.
And it hurts my skin.
Wow.
So I really like to go someplace where I can stay in shade.
Sure.
I am definitely that shade person.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that explains the relatives in Northern Ireland, right? They all were the winter in the shade and so long. I took friends who had lived on the coast to the Midwest for the first time. And they echoed something that I had heard in the movies. Sarah Plainenthal was the movie.
Oh,
yeah, good movie.
I remember that. Yeah.
And she had talked about, and it didn't make any sense to me really, that the wheat would look like waves.
The wavy wheat.
Yes. And so the first time I took friends home from the East Coast, they had never been to the Midwest, and there was the wheat. And they're like, oh, it looks like waves.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, no, it looks like wheat in the wind.
I mean, I've never been in the Midwest. I've never seen the waving wheat, but I know what it's moving.
It does. It looks, it's dancing. It was really something different. I hadn't thought about that. I guess the place I like to go the most is places I can do something or see something. I'm not much of a sitter. And if I want to be a sitter, I have to have a plan to sit. So I need a book. I need a thing to do. I need a something to think and, you know, why are we here? But the vacations or the places I like to go are where I can learn something or do something, or there's a festival going on. But I also, I don't power up around people. I like to be off by myself in solitude and just, and then go see the people.
I gotcha. I totally understand that. Give me a book and a beach chair and I'm good. Yeah. I don't need the people either.
And it's so many times, for example, my ideal vacation would be to go take cooking classes all across the United States. So that way I could recreate and share with other people what I'm learning and tasting and seeing and doing. And if I got to tour France, I don't want to go to Paris. I don't want to go to see the Louvre. You see plenty of pictures from the Louvre. I want to go to the south of France and learn how to make wine and cheese and learn how all the different regions do it.
That does sound fascinating.
That would be the thing I would like to do.
So I know you've traveled a lot.
All across the states.
All across the states. But you told me you've never been out of the country.
I don't have a passport.
Wow.
I have never been out of the United States. Well, I've been to Canada.
Okay.
And but that was back when you could use your driver's license to go to Niagara Falls and come back. So, no, I haven't. I've been all over the states, and we have so many cool things to do in the United States and so many different places and cultures and people and so many things to do. And it's so interesting. When I went to Oklahoma last year, out in the middle of Cimarron County on the little panhandle where you're near Colorado and you're near Amarillo and near nothing, it was so eye-opening to me to realize that it was just a bunch of Hoosiers and folks from Illinois who just went out and settled where it was flat and they could grow crops.
In Oklahoma.
It's like, wow. People from here normally don't do here. I'm like, oh, let me show you pictures from Indiana. We're just fine. And then we went to Cimarron County History Center and started looking up. It's like, oh, yes, that one's from Indiana and that one's from Indiana and that one. No wonder.
Everybody migrated into the panhandle.
And one of the interesting things I learned out there was they were really concerned about the Dust Bowl because it was just another bad year. And they just made it through like they had other years.
Yes. I mean, that Dust Bowl in the 30s or something. I mean, that was a major, major thing. A lot of people had to move.
They
had to move. They couldn't grow anything.
But, you know, the few years Before, what I learned out there was the few years before, it had been a really rich few years because the price of corn and the price of wheat, and if people were managing it like they would, you know, making the connection back with their farming roots, they're managing their monies versus have it, spend it, kind of technology. But it never occurred to me until I married my husband, who had grown up, like my mother-in-law, watching the sun rise and sunset. And you and I had a funny conversation as we were listening to them describe this.
She had to draw a diagram for me because I'm trying to understand the whole sunset thing.
Yes.
Depends on what side of the water you're watching the sun go down. I get it now. It still sounds weird. I think your husband and your mother-in-law are weird.
Well, they are uniquely special. We've been married so long, it's good. But yes, you know, because it never occurred to me, because the sun comes up in the east and goes down in the west.
Of course.
So Robin, if you could pick one place that you haven't gone, you wanted to go, where would it be?
I always wanted to go to the American Southwest. I would love to go to Arizona, New Mexico.
You always wear the turquoise.
That's because I want to go buy jewelry. I want to go down and see all the Native Americans. They make the beautiful silver and turquoise jewelry. I've never been farther west than Minneapolis is the furthest I've ever gone in the States.
You know, when I think Minneapolis Moline because of the tractors.
Oh,
having grown up around antique tractors, I think Minneapolis in my mind always pictures in Minneapolis Moline tractors.
Oh my goodness. I had an uncle and aunt, cousins who lived in Minneapolis. And when I think I was probably 11 or 12, we drove out there to visit with them. So we stopped at Sandusky, Ohio, on the banks of Lake Erie.
Yep.
And went to Cedar Point Amusement Park, which is amazing. And of course, this was back in 68 or 69.
But that was a big deal because they had the world's largest Ferris wheel.
Really? Okay. Yes. So we stopped there. And then we drove to Minneapolis. And the thing that really struck me about Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities, was how clean it was. Because my city experience was Baltimore. And back in the late 60s, this is before Harbor Place and before all the, you know, nice stuff they did. It was not a real clean city that you wanted to walk around in. We walked around in downtown St. Paul, and I was 11 or 12, and that's what struck me, how clean the streets were and how clean the city was. But it was a good trip.
And there's definitely a difference, even now, to me, a Midwestern city versus a coast city. I hope you all have enjoyed listening, and I hope we sparked, where are you going? What are you doing? When you come back, what do you bring back with you? Is it the tan? Is it the jewelry? Is it a poster of the city? What is it that you bring back with you?
And memories.
And memories.
Memories.
I always come home and think, I'm so glad to be home. I really like home. And kind of echoing Ryan and coming back to Carroll County and Maryland, where you have a little bit of everything. You have the mountains, the ocean, the rocks, the plains.
And it's home.
And it's home.
She's grown up here. So that's why she likes to be here.
Yeah. So share with us. Email me at hello@raisingconnections.com. Share your story and let us know. If emailing's too much, put it on Facebook at Raising Connections. I'll put the picture of why I like home and all my flowers out there. And we'll see you next week here for some more connections.